Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft. No pyro, no party. Yes, I am revelling. I am an ultra now, Ross Wayne, the ginger god of pod. I joined the ultras on Saturday. A few of you have, just to say I am fine, by the way. A lot of people have reached out on Twitter. I am fine. It was Lust for Fife on Saturday, as me and two of my friends journeyed around the kingdom, going to several pubs before ending up at the 5:30 kickoff. Missed the first goal. We'll get into that in a minute. But yes, I am feeling rough. Today. How are you, Ross?
I'm not too bad. I think I'm like 100 times better than you, probably.
We did our pub crawl of Fife. Very good, by the way. Thoroughly enjoyed it. My mate had hired a driver to drive us around Fife. It sounds ridiculous. We started in Edinburgh. We had a wee Bloody Mary to kick off the day. Then went to South Queen's Ferry, the ferry tap there. Hill End Tavern in Dalgety Bay. Two pubs in Aberdour, Foresters. Then right. We went to Burnt Island, a place called Sands. Then we went to Cowdenbeath. Wee Jimmy's in Cowdenbeath.
Jimmy's is always a staple when you go to Cowdenbeath.
Yeah. And then end up, obviously, in the Kings in Kelty. And then on to the game.
At least you didn't go to Dunfermline. That would have been...
No, I said the rule is we're not going to Dunfermline. So, yes, and I've lost my scarf somewhere along the way as well. I've not seen it since, so I don't know where that's... If you come across a Falkirk scarf at some point...
In Fife, I'm sure that'll be burned.
Fife, right? Yeah, exactly. Or somewhere, so I don't know what's happened. But yes, I am feeling the effects, and then I went to see the National last night and bumped into one of our directors, Mr. Keith Gourley, as well, so... hi to Keith and Big Brian Flynn. We're both at the gig last night, so feeling a little worse for wear today, I have to say. Ross, how are you?
Good, buddy. Good, yes. It was a fantastic win, which I know we're going to kind of go into in a minute. But yeah, brilliant match on Saturday. I know you probably don't remember most of it, so at least one of us could...
Honestly, on Sunday morning, I had to go and watch the highlights. Because we were right behind the goals as well, I was actually... there was with Brian from Elliot's, and the Elliot's crew were there standing behind me, and I was just... I was disgraced, Ross. I was absolute disgrace. I feel... You know, it's that way when you wake up and you're just, like, embarrassed. And I almost at half time, I did nothing wrong, right? But I was wandering about, and then just Stuart's approach me saying, "Right, you're out." Now I've got a shout out to Callum, who reached out to the podcast and saved my bacon and kept me in the game, because he is an absolute legend. And already, I can tell you right now, the Falkirk Daft rated
is you.
It's Callum. It's Callum for saying it. And the Falkirk Dafty is me. So shout out to Callum who saved my bacon and all the bairns that I met and all the ultra crew there who took us in, us in our 40s, diving about like loonies at the football. So it was a good day out. But hey-ho, we'll get into the game in just a minute. But I've got to first of all say thank you to our sponsors, Haldane Construction. Now, Peter, I've not heard from Peter, actually. They were down for a big awards ceremony in London.
Yes, we were going to hear from them, but I don't think we have yet. So,
Fingers crossed they did have a good night down there. But yeah, Haldane Construction, sponsors of Falkirk Daft this year. You'll see their big sign in the Legend stand and on the side of the stand as well. They have been delivering construction building projects throughout the Central Belt for 2 decades. If you're looking for an extension on your house, they are the guys that you want. They'll take a collaborative approach to design, budget, and imagine any project you want them to do. And they are award-winning. Like I say, they were down at awards ceremony there on Friday. We'll hear from Peter to find out how they got on. But yeah, they've won Apprentices of the Year, awards from the Federation of Master Builders. They are your guys if you're wanting a project that involves construction, Peter and the team over there. And you can get them at haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Quality and loyalty is at the heart of their business. Get them on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, or you can drop Peter and the team an email, info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Last week we were on this podcast and Ross failed to mention that we're announcing an event. We're doing an event with the club.
We are, yeah. So we're now allowed to talk about it.
We weren't allowed to talk about it last week. By the way, the first I knew of this was when I saw it on Twitter and Ross hadn't told me. I was like, all right, okay then. That's been announced then. Right, so tell the people all about what's happening, Ross.
Just to clarify, you did know it was happening. Some of the specifics. So yeah, no, last Friday night, I think it was, Graham at the club had got back in touch with us so that I could pass the message on to you that we'd obviously firmed up which players were now going to be attending the club's first speakers night of the year, which is called Fortress Brottleholm. So as you mentioned, John, we're teaming up with the club to host the night, and it's now going to be at the Enshire Hotel. And the four players that are going to be there getting quizzed, Graham Norton style, that's a bit wrong, actually. That's maybe not the best way. Graham Norton style are Wee Crunchy, the original Ginger God, Sammy McGivern, Tiger McLaughlin, and the hardest man in football, Mr. Davy Nicholls.
Oh, so, I'm really scared about asking Davy Nicholls the wrong question, getting an absolute doon from him. It's going to be a great night. Something there, you know, and the great thing is a generational thing. There's something there, a player there from, you know, across the generations. You know, for me, obviously, Davy Nicholls is a guy I remember. I'm sure he's got some cracking stories. Sammy, obviously, you know, you're one of your heroes, Ross. Crunchy, yeah, we all know and love. And then Tiger McLaughlin, it's going to be really interesting to chat to him and see what he's got to tell us as well. So it's going to be an absolute cracking night, 17th of November, like Ross says, at the Enshire Hotel. Two-course meal, pay bar available on the night, £35 a head. You can buy a table as well, obviously, as well. So head to the Falkirk website. And the great thing is all the profits going into the Falkirk Academy, which obviously they're getting up and running again. So yeah, if you want, head to all the details, falkirkfc.co.uk, or you can drop the team an email, marketing@falkirkfc.co.uk. Get your tickets quick, because I think it will sell quite well, and I'm really looking forward to that night. Like I say, it'll just be a great gathering, just great memories, talking about Brottville, talking about obviously the teams that these guys played in, and it'll be great to hear from the four of them. Really looking forward to that. That's 17th of November at the Enshire. Talking of events, and a lot of people have reached out about the Russell Latapy event, finally got a hold of Colin, who is the guy who's ran the event. He is, in light of us doing this event now with the club, he's looking at putting the Russell Latapy night back to the start of next year. So you have got a ticket for that. He's going to offer refunds if you can't make it then next year. He said to me he's going to send out an email. I've taken him at his word, so he's popping out an email to everyone, apparently. But yes, let's just say it's not. We've had nothing to do with the organisation. We were just there turning up to host the event, but we are chasing them up for you. I spoke to him, like I say, end of last week, and he says he's going to pop out an email. So if you want a refund on your tickets, that's there. But it's still going ahead at the start of next year. So if you have got a ticket for the Russell Latapy night, which was for the Dobby Hall, keep a hold of it, because it will be happening at some point, and we'll hopefully get some more details on that over the next month or so, if we can track them down. Let's talk about the FFC Heritage Trust is celebrating the National Sporting Heritage Day, Ross.
Yes, I think that sounds really, really good. So as you mentioned, so the club helped the Heritage Trust announce this just the other day. So there's going to be an open afternoon at the Falkirk Stadium on Sunday, the 1st of October. And that's going to happen between 2 and 4. Now, the event is going to take place in the recently refurbished hospitality suite. So I've not seen this yet. Obviously, you and I have got a couple of hospitality dates booked in this year. And hopefully we'll see how these are all looking. But yeah, so the Heritage Trust have designed and erected panels in the main stand to completely refresh four of the lounges: the Alex Parker Lounge, the 1957 Lounge, the International Lounge, and the Captain's Lounge. So what they've said is that the impressive displays, and it sounds like they will be, are part of the Trust's ongoing plans to redecorate areas of the main stand, including a complete redesign of the Heritage Trail, which is on the ground floor. So for those who've ever done a pre-hospitality tour at the stadium, you have the option to go around a little bit of a Heritage Trail, which takes you through all the sort of nooks and crannies of the main stand ground floor where the club areas are. But also, it's like a treasure trove of pictures from 1876 right up to the modern day. So it is fantastic. So the Trust are members of the Sporting Heritage UK, and they've received funding to support their work in digitising the club's minute books, some of which are now available online as well. And as part of the open afternoon, there's going to be an illustrated presentation of the story of the Falkirk Bairns, and that's in the Alec Parker Lounge at 3 p.m. on Sunday. Also, we've been told that supporters will also be able to order a signed copy of the limited edition first volume of the official history of Falkirk Football Club from its foundation up to season 1968-69. And this is going to become a two-volume edition, with the second one being published in time to mark the 150th anniversary of the club. Both volumes will be presented in a special souvenir box, and the first volume should be on sale in the next few weeks, which sounds brilliant. And the open afternoon, they've said, will also provide fans with an opportunity to purchase Falkirk programmes, including some finals and semi-finals, as well as memorabilia from the Trust and also from the football club. All fans are welcome, and they're looking forward to seeing everybody, as many people as they can, on the day.
Sounds like a smashing media out, actually. I might try and get that down to that myself if I'm not working.
It really does. I think that'll be a cracking for all ages. And if it gets people, even younger fans, interested in sort of the history of the club that they maybe don't already know, then it's definitely worth doing.
We definitely need to get Michael White, the club historian, on this show to talk to him about, because obviously the new book's coming out. It'd be great to speak to Michael about it, because he knows everything.
Yes, no, I think we've got that in the pipeline. We just need to firm up a date for him coming on. So
fantastic.
Yeah, Michael will have some amazing stories that I'm sure he'll be able to share with everybody as well.
Absolutely. Competitions. We've got a couple of competitions on the go, Ross.
We do. We've got three now on the go following Derek being our guest pundit last week, which went down very well. Some of the feedback that we saw on social media after it went out was brilliant. So we need to try and get Derek and his brother.
Derek and Scott, get them both on together.
But yeah, we've still got a few competitions on the go. The first one, the first two, beg your pardon, are linked to try to get our followers up to 1,876 on X/Twitter, however you know it. So we've been given a set of two prints, A4 and A5, consisting of the Hope Street End artwork and the Brockville Tunnel artwork, which we've shared previously. We'll do that again on our socials following this episode. And that was donated by Slap and Dabas Designs. Now, they've got their shop links, which we'll share on our socials as well. The artwork looks amazing. It's printed on the highest quality card as well. Looks fantastic. And that's the first part of our... So when we hit 1,876 followers on X, or Twitter, as it's known now, we'll be giving away those. As well as that, the ever-popular captain's armbands, which the kids are fighting over.
I wanted to get one from a pal who was up for Shrewsbury. I meant to have a word, I'd drop a word to see if we could get one at the end of the game, but I completely forgot.
I think
I'm glad it went to the kids and not two steaming drunk
people.
So they're very, very popular, and all the kids are after them. On that note, anybody who sits in the main stand and they want a captain's armband, please do head down towards the front of the main stand at full time this Saturday, because Big Call, I know he's been going over to the Kevin McAllister stand, but on Saturday at full time, he's going to be heading over to the main stand. So if you are interested in grabbing one of the captain's armbands, head down towards the front on Saturday at full time. We've got a captain's armband to give away too. And last but not least, in terms of competitions, as Derek mentioned on the podcast last week, very kindly donating a £40 gift voucher for Matty and me, which is the home store that him and his wife have an online shop, and obviously they've got their the shop located at their home as well. So all we need to do here, everybody who's listening, they just need to like, follow both Falkirk Daft and Matty and me on Facebook. Again, we'll share the link on our socials when the podcast goes out. All you need to do is like and follow both of the pages, share the post that we'll have on Facebook and Twitter with links to Matty and me, and then listen out on next week's podcast to hear if you've won. Simple as that.
There you go. Lots of competitions, lots of chances to win. Keep an eye on our socials for all that. Okay, that's all the club news dealt with. Any other bits of news we need to know about? Yeah, it's all good, isn't it?
I think so. The only other thing, actually, John, breaking news. Breaking news, just before we did start recording, the ever-amazing Sarah Scott at the Junior Bairns has sent out a bit of an update to say that there's another joining day for those who've maybe not been able to join the Junior Bairns as yet. So what they need to do is get along to the Kevin McAllister stand. Actually, it's this Sunday. So if you have a chance to go to the Heritage Open afternoon, you can also go to the Kevin McAllister stand between 1 and 3 to join up for this year's Junior Bairns membership, which I'm sure is just going through the roof as it always does. And their sponsor, which is YES, Your Equipment Solutions, they're providing backing for this coming season. So big shout out to them for supporting the...
They do loads, Your Equipment Solutions, around the whole of Falkirk. You know, you see them everywhere supporting a lot of the sports around the local sports clubs. I can't even speak. So thanks to them, and obviously back in the Bairns as well. So, right, let's talk about the match, from what I remember. And every week on Falkirk Daft, I'd like to welcome a guest pundit. And this week is no stranger to me, because it's my brother. It is David McAnally.
At least one of the McAnally brothers looks fresh as a daisy today.
You've got me on just because I'm the only one that was there that can probably remember any part of the game.
Yeah, well, I remember parts of the game. Welcome to the podcast, David. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. I'm looking fine. But yeah.
Well, I think me and Ross will be the judge of that.
So. I'm glad we're having this section of the show, because you can tell me what exactly happened in the game, because I watched the highlights back on Sunday morning. I missed the first goal. I definitely missed the first goal because I didn't get in time because we're too busy in the pub. Unchanged from the last game, from what I could see. Good to see Big Alfie back on the bench. Talk me through the game, boys.
Well, at least we can. We saw every minute of it, Dave, didn't we?
So, yeah, no, absolutely. I want to know about, I don't know if you went in it previously, but about what was your day prior to the match, John? I'm interested, you know.
Well, we did.
When I saw you at halftime, you were quite flattered to have to say. I'm surprised you got in.
I'm surprised we got in as well. We end up, we obviously, we said earlier on about my pub crawl around Fife, managed about 13, 14 drinks before we actually got to the football. We got in fine, with some confusion over the tickets, but we got there in the end, got into the ground in time to see the second goal.
Yeah, and in with the young, I saw that video, John, Jesus, man. Too old for going in with the young team, like.
I know, shit. Yeah, absolutely. I'm far too old for going in with the young team. Yep, yeah, I learnt my lesson.
You're never too old, John boy.
You would love that, Ross. You're just desperate to come head of the ultras and get on the drum.
Yeah,
Listen, no, maybe not the drum, but I'm happy to lend my vocal support as always.
No, it was a good day out. And plenty, obviously, pyro on show from the young team prior to kickoff. Looked good.
It looked amazing, didn't it?
Yeah, it did look good.
Yeah.
I noticed when the smoke bombs dissipated, that whole area where they were they ignited them was completely empty. they look great, but I've been in amongst them and it absolutely stinks. I mean, I was over at the main stand, but we could still smell the sulfur coming off it. But visually it looks great.
It looks great, and the flag looks brilliant as well, the big flag they've got. What's with this balaclava and, like, covering their face and all that nonsense? So come on, boys, eh?
Oh, but John, you need to remember, though, that some of the pyrotechnics are not quite legal in the ground. So
this is true.
You need to watch what they're doing. And if you want the rainbow, you need to put up with the rain, as they say. So just suck it up, boys, and just deal with it.
But no, I don't. All this balaclava, I just look. Come on, boys. Come on. Am I just being? Now I'm an official ultra. I can say this, can I? No?
I don't think you can. Actually, I think they'll shun you the next day.
They will shun me. They will shun me. Again, just to add to the atmosphere, don't they? And I thoroughly enjoyed being in amongst it. Big. Decent crowd as well turned up at Kelty. We always get a good turnout there. And I think the half five, you know, I quite enjoyed the half five kickoff of Morris Street. It's good.
I like them as well. I do. What about you, Dave? I don't mind them at all.
If I'm working at them, I do hate them if I'm working at them. It takes up your whole Saturday. But it was good. It was good for me because I was working at Livingston. So I managed to get over and getting early to see the match. I don't think it's that bad at all because, you got a game at 3 o'clock, you're kind of in that limbo area after about six as to what to do, but at least that way you can have a good scoop, get something to eat, and then kind of have a whole day of it, really.
Absolutely. I bet, John, you never ate on Saturday, did you?
I didn't eat anything on Saturday at all. I think I had chips at one point, and that was it. Woke up on the couch on Sunday morning, fell asleep on the couch, there was a doner kebab from King's or whatever it's called now beside me.
Did you go to Edinburgh after then?
Yes, went to Edinburgh after. Yeah. Not a great idea. Should have went home. My brother offered me a lift home at full time, and I was convinced to go back to Edinburgh. That was a terrible, terrible idea. Terrible. Should have just went down the road, but no. Stupid. Anyway, let's talk about the game. Quick off the mark again. Great to see. Just that goal, just getting that early goal, settles you down, because we saw, obviously, against Queen of the South the week before, it just took a while to come, but getting that early goal and big Pirlo with the header, tremendous stuff.
Yeah, well, before that, McKeever had a great header, which looked like it was going in from my angle. It's unlucky just to see it go past the post, but certainly once we've got... I mean, weirdly enough, though, when we scored that goal, they started to... play a lot better and controlled the game for, I don't know, about a 10-minute spell. They were passing about quite nicely, but we just got back in. I mean, it just settles in ours, getting that early goal.
David, I don't think you would have saw it, but obviously it doesn't sound like John was in at this point when the kickoff happened, but there was like a set-piece routine, as in a kickoff set-piece routine. Did you see it? So we pushed everybody upfield by about two players, and Sam Long...
At the kickoff?
Kickoff, yes. Sam ran out from his line and just absolutely melted it up the park. It was like... remember late in the late 90s, Brockville? Alec Totten just used to do the same thing every kickoff.
Oh, I was out to the side, run up the wing, out to the side. We scored... remember, we scored from it once. Colin McDonald scored. Yeah, I remember it. But it
nearly worked, because as Dave's saying, the cross came over from Big Hendo, and McKeever nearly got on the score sheet after, what, 24 seconds or something like that?
Yeah. No, cracking. I mean, Hendo's goal obviously came, though. Again, Spencer's set pieces are excellent. I really think it's made a big difference. I've talked about how much Brad Spencer and Tam Lang have made a huge impact on this team this season, but I really think Spencer's set pieces are excellent, you know?
I'm still adamant. I've been, for your guy, your steak and chicken boy Morrison, but I think he's our best player. I think he has been for the last few seasons, but if it makes sense, I think Spencer's going to be our most important player this season. He just controls the game, and I think, you know, fingers crossed that, you know, he stays away from injury and suspension. I actually thought, I think we're 4 or 5 up, and I expected him to maybe get taken on just to sort of rest him a little bit, and he ended up picking up a yellow card. So, but I don't know how, if he's had many already this season. So,
not that I can think of. He's not really a dirty player, to be honest with you. But yeah, he's absolute, you know, like I've said before several times, him, Morrison and Lang shouldn't be in this league. They're too good for it. But long may it continue. We, you know, like you said, David said, they came back into it a wee bit, played some stuff. A lot of complaints over the pitch. I've heard a lot of people complaining about the pitch, but I didn't think it looked that bad.
I've seen worse.
Yeah, I didn't think it played particularly bad.
Yeah,
we were obviously at Livingston a few hours beforehand, which looks horrific. I don't know if it plays horrific, but it looks horrific from watching it on TV.
Yeah, no, it's bad. I mean, just the way it bounces off the surface there is a bit unpredictable. Mm. Livingston's one's a real leveler, but I wouldn't have said that.
No,
I was aware that Kelty's pitch is having any effect in the game.
Yeah, was it a penalty? I don't know, like. I mean, we don't get penalties much, but I was convinced it was a penalty, and looking back on it, I don't know if it was or not, but listen, I'll take it every day of the week.
It's one of them, isn't it? Like, I think when the ball came in, Morrison knew what he was doing and had must have had a bit of pressure on his back and went down, but I don't know. If it's given against us, I would think it a little soft, but I'll take it.
I agree. We'll take it every day of the week. I can understand why Morrison. Well, see, the thing is, it has to be a pen because Morrison moved to strike the ball and he couldn't because of who was behind him. So Tidzer really shouldn't have lunged in, and I've no ill feeling massively against Tidzer, although he was a work shy bugger. But in terms of the presence behind him, I can understand why Morrison's had to go to ground because he's not been able to swing his boot round properly to take a shot, and I'm sure he would have scored for that distance had he been able to.
Well, that, I mean, I always think that as well. I'm not like condoning diving or anything, but I think like sometimes you have to give the referee a decision to make. If he's impeded you in any way from striking the ball cleanly, then it's not a dive. You sort of make more of the foul and then put it in the hands of the referee. So yeah, I think you're right. I think you could easily say that, you know, Tidzer's presence here would have stopped Morrison connecting. So, yeah.
Well, and I know, obviously, John and Dave, you wouldn't have heard it, but the commentator, sorry, the sub commentator was obviously Stephen Cragan, and he was very, very adamant that it wasn't a penalty. In fact, he was just like so anti Falkirk for almost the entire game. It's as if somebody for Falkirk's like lamped him one at some point. Dave, it's not you, is it? I know you might know.
Talking to him before the game because I got pat round at the TV truck. So he's a nice guy in that, but I don't know if he's got any loving for us or hate against us. I'm not sure. I mean, he was talking about Aggieman because he had him in his Motherwell youth team.
Ah, right, okay.
McKeever
came to there as well, but yeah, I never heard the Elba commentary back, so I can't comment on that.
You've not missed much.
Good penalty converted. I mean, Morrison seems to be. I mean, I think as a striker, I always think your striker should be taking your penalties. I'm sure Ross McKeever's a bit raging that he isn't on the penalties, but you can't take them off Morrison. Has he missed one? Has he missed one, maybe?
I think he's definitely missed one, but I mean, his ratio is pretty decent.
Yeah.
It's weird because I always feel that when he's about to take a penalty, everyone seems to think he's going to miss. Because around me, when he took it, I could hear a lot of groans and about the way he hits him. But
is that maybe going back to last year, though, or the year before? Because remember, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before that, but there was a spell where he was taking his penalties by absolutely just melting the ball as high and as hard as he could. And he missed. He did miss a couple then, but since then, I don't think he's got a poor record at all. I think it's really good penalty record, but I must admit, in my head, just as you've said there, Dave, I was thinking he's going to absolutely melt this, and if he didn't, he couldn't have stroked it any slower.
Weirdly enough, because the shout behind me, it might even been Derek Steele, but I could hear talking about the way he hits him, you know, I was saying about the goalie did his homework because he always sort of hits him to his left into the corner, but he hit that one the opposite way. So maybe, I don't know, he's mixing up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, it certainly wouldn't have been last year he missed many because I don't think we
didn't get many.
Exactly.
So yeah, 2-0 up. I mean, then we'll hear from John McGlynn, not playing at our best, but we're 2-0 up and then we go 3-0 up. Are we giving them goal as an own goal, or are we giving it to Morrison?
I would just give it to Morrison. I think I'm surprised it stood because there was a bit of a, you know, when the goal went in the ground, you'll probably not remember, John, but everyone seemed to like hesitate a little bit because it's just one of them where any contact with the keeper, you expect them to give a foul. So it was a bit of a weird one because, you know, you're just expecting it to be ruled out and then he got the goal. So
I think if the keeper hadn't have been so obvious of a fumble, though, I think it might have been given as a foul because obviously Morrison was so, so close to the keeper. But he obviously, it was quite a dramatic flap, wasn't it, in terms of his fumbling of it. So it's either Donaldson's, which was a nice strike, by the way. Fair play to him for that volley on the turn. So it's either Donaldson's goal or Morrison's. I didn't actually notice Morrison tap it in, but he must have.
I had a wee look again at it, and I think he has made some kind of contact with the ball, but it would seem more like an OG. But looking at the ball, Sky certainly gave it to Morrison. I was just having a look at the score fixture, the results there, so. Yeah. I'm not sure, but you know, so you'd rather see it go to a Falkirk player. It's a shame about the keeper though, because he actually had a good game. Yeah. He had some great saves and could have been a lot more if, you know, not for some of the stops that he made.
No, I know. Again, just relentless in terms of this. So 3-0 up, and then Stephen Craigan saying they're 3-0, but there's nothing in between the two teams. What?
I didn't understand that at all, if I'm being honest. Like, honestly, it's like he had a massive chip on his shoulder about the Burns all day. But yeah, he literally said, I know it's 3-0, but there's nothing between the teams.
And I tell you what, like, going, obviously, be approaching that half time, and Kelty had their one chance. And by the way, what a goal that was. I was right behind it. And as soon as it left his foot, he just went, Jesus, flew in. No chance for the keeper.
Yeah, it was a good goal. I don't know. Obviously, again, I'm not listening to the BBC Alba commentary, but certainly they were on top of us for a good 10-minute spell. But I would, if my recollection's correct, I think it was after 1-0, we started being a bit cagey and they were knocking it about well. But other than that, I really wouldn't say they were in it much. I think they definitely faded out the game. In second half, it was all us. So, yeah, I'm not sure I would agree if that was what Stephen was saying about the...
I agree, Dave. It was you're not wrong. Certainly after the first goal, we did let them have a bit of the ball. But I don't think they ever really looked like there was one chance they had, maybe at the 10-minute mark, where they opened us up a little bit. But otherwise, they didn't really trouble us until, as you say, the absolute belter of a goal that they did score on the stroke of half-time. But yeah, at 3-0, to say there was nothing between the teams was a bit of an odd statement.
And even when you got that goal, you know, you just didn't have any fear or worry. Going into that second half, you just kind of came out, because we came out again. I thought Nesbitt had a good game. Nesbitt had an odd good game in that role, which obviously seems to be his preferred role as well, just in that kind of 10 role. And, you know, while Calvin Miller's obviously injured, you know, and it'll be hard to get the shirt back off him if the way the team are playing. But I think Nesbitt's really settled down again. I think he went at the end of last season, and certainly the second half of the season, he wasn't great, but he seems to have kind of got back on his game again.
Yeah, no, he was good. I had a good game.
Yeah.
I don't know how they'll all fit in. I mean, it's weird at the end, some of the subs, because I think I looked in the... He ended up playing centre mid at the end of the game, him and Gary Oliver, I think.
That was odd, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit. I mean, we're 5-1 up, so it didn't matter. I'd have liked to have seen some of the young guys come on, to be honest.
Yeah, there was an opportunity there, I think. And like you say, David, the opportunity to maybe rest some of the players. But Big Alfie came off the bench again. He's an absolute nuisance, that boy, isn't he? Absolute. You'd hate to come up against him as a defender. Big, strong, fast.
I think we missed him last week against Queen of the South. And when he came on, on Saturday. I thought, as you said, a nuisance is definitely probably the best word for it. You just miss him because he drives at defenders. They don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if sometimes he doesn't know what he's going to do either, but he's just a menace. And he really got us going in an attacking sense in that second half when he came on.
I mean, the fourth goal came from pretty much Agumon, good ball out from Oliver. Agumon just driving, gets his shot away, and then there's McKeever. Again, he'll be delighted to get back on the score sheet after missing a couple of games without a goal.
How many is that he's on now? Is it seven or eight? McKeever?
Yeah.
Just in the league or in total?
Well, I made obviously a bit of a bold statement about 30 over the season, but that was all competitions for me. So I don't know what he's on. Surely he must be on seven or eight by now, though.
Yeah. I think in the league it might only be like three or four.
Oh really?
I don't know.
I'll check that.
We'll do the research. But Ross's quest for McKeever to get 30 continues.
I mean, He's massive though as well, because I was saying this at the game. I can't remember, maybe Lyle Taylor or something's the last kind of penalty box striker. He holds the position well. He doesn't drop like, I don't mind Gary Oliver. I think technically he's not a bad footballer, but he's never going to get you the amount of goals we need as a forward.
I mean, McKeever plays between the posts pretty much.
I mean, he's just always there sniffing about a chance, and he doesn't have to be involved in the game that much. But him being there, I think, also allows us to press forward a bit more and give Morrison and Ross and whoever's playing Nisbet or whoever else is playing the 10 role, it allows them to push forward a wee bit, because he's always just around, lurking around the shoulders of defenders. And eventually we'll get a chance, and seems to be at the minute more often than not, he'll put them away.
I just had a look there now. So between the League Cup, in the league, Ross McKeever is the top scorer currently on 7 goals. Callum Morrison's on 5. Big Alfie's on 4. And then we've got Spencer, Nesbitt, Miller and Lang all on 2.
Yeah. Ethan, what did you make Ethan Ross's performance?
Better than the week before. He's obviously benefited from having another week of training, getting to know the guys, because we'd have only had maybe the Thursday or the Friday of the week before, before he got his chance against Queen of the South, which probably was enforced with Alfie being out. But I liked him. I like him. I think he's going to be a really good player for us between now and January, or hopefully between now and end of the season.
Yeah, I'd like to see him kind of, I mean, I think when the squads is, we're working off how many players we're working off of this season. But we just need all the bodies that we can get. And I thought Leighton played well when he came on as well, actually. He had a good couple of balls and stuff. And, Finn's got the jersey, and you don't just change it, And he's obviously a more natural right back. But, it's be interesting.
The good thing we have in Bisland there, that means that if, anything happens in the centre midfield, you can then put Finn in there to cover.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't know about Ethan Ross. He was sort of playing the opposite side from where I was first half. And I can't mind seeing him involved too much, but I can't mind him doing any wrong. And then second half, he kind of came off a bit earlier, but he certainly looks short of fitness. But he's a good player. I mind seeing him break through the ranks at Aberdeen and then doing a few Raith Rovers games over the last couple of seasons. I was surprised, to be honest, that we got him. I'm sure once he's up to fitness, he'll be a cracking player for us. I've not seen much of him to really comment. Again, he was sort of the opposite side of me when he came on. It's cover there anyway. I think Finn's doing a good job, but it's obviously, you can tell it's not the most comfortable position for him, but he's fitting in well.
He's definitely putting a shift in, as Finn. I've just been, Dave, we were talking about this last week. I just think recruitment this year, McGlynn has been like spot on. I don't think there's been a bad signing that he's made that's not contributed or not playing as we hoped he would be.
I don't think there's anyone he's brought in, apart from maybe Bisland, say that sort of covered on the bench, but I think everyone has came in and looked the part. I agree 100%. I mean, even last year, his recruitment, I think even the best managers, if you get 70%, is a really good ratio, and I think McGlynn's is well above that.
Yeah.
You know, I would have loved to have kept Romarin Burrell from last season as well. I thought he was, you know, a good player and could add something different to the team as well. But there's certainly nobody that's came in and went that has not really contributed anything. I mean, Matthew Wright is maybe the one that sticks out to most. But
forgot about Matty Wright. Yeah, we need.
You know, I laughed at his table at the awards night, and he seems like a really nice guy. And he didn't, you know, when you looked at these opportunities, it's always coming off the bench. And I think he scored like one from two starts or something, so maybe he didn't get a chance, but we'll see where he ends up. But I mean, he was the only one, and Jordan Allen maybe just hasn't done anything.
Oh, the problem is, and this the Jordan Allen conundrum for me is that we don't play a system that works for Jordan Allen, because he's obviously a talented goal scorer, but we don't, the system Falkirk play, and it's mystified me, you know, it's a player that went out, spent money on being, you know, he was the top goal scorer in the league at the time, but we don't play a system that suits him, I don't think, because I think he works well with a two. I would love if for one game we just try McKeever and Allen up top together. I don't know when that will happen, because it's always like one goes on, one comes off, you know. And I really hope for like Jordan gets his chance, because I think I'd love to see him scoring lots of goals, because he's, you know, we know he's got it in him, and I'd love to see him get his chance. But I don't think the system we play suits his style of play.
Well, when you look at the game where he did score, it was the Cove game up there where we were chasing for a goal, and we kept McKeever on. And it was McKeever's, Spencer's cross, McKeever's flick on, as he always does, gets a good flick on, and then Jordan Allen poked it away. That is where I think he's at his best. But as you say, we're unlikely to see the pair of them actually playing together, because that's just not the style that's working. And it is working. So I can understand why we're not changing to a different formation just to try and shoehorn a player in.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I can't remember with that Cove game. Did he come on and play up front alongside McKeever?
McKeever had started and Jordan Allen came on as a sub. And that was, remember when we were 2-1 down, we were about three, four minutes to go. And it was a last minute equaliser up at Cove.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that's maybe the one sort of thing with McGlynn sometimes. He's quite rigid in how he wants to play, which is great. And we're seeing the benefits of it now. But you wouldn't mind, just like particularly those kind of games where, you know, there's no chance of us drawing or losing, you know, like on Saturday there, maybe just mix it up a bit. And that's maybe a chance to bring people on and try something new and give the youngsters a run out. Because like I say, but you weren't going to learn much from Gary Oliver coming on. But again, he probably, you know, he's done a lot for us last season, so maybe deserves his chance to come on. But
See, without going all FIFA managerial career mode, right? He needs to keep these boys ticking over and happy as well, because if you're Gary Oliver and young Honeyman comes on before you for the last 10-15 minutes, you're going to chap the manager's door on the Monday morning saying, what's going on here? And it's not against young Honeyman, because I think he looks fantastic when he has come on, but he will need to keep these boys sweet to an extent as we go through the season, because as we've already seen, we're going to have injuries and we're going to have players out at points, and the window's now shut, so there's no one else coming in.
I think Sean Mackey's back actually on injury. I bumped into Keith Gourley on the train the way home from Giggle, it was that last night, and he said that Sean Mackey's back training again, so I think we'll see Sean Mackey back in the next week or so, the next couple of weeks, so that's good news as well for cover there. You know, and that's, you know, but Leon again, he's got the jersey, and this is what happened last season. We thought Sean Mackey, and I'm assuming after our conversation with John McGlynn, he likes players over 6 foot. Let's face the fact, if you're not over 6 foot, you've got a chance. But Leon is done really, really well, and I'm like, we could see, you could probably tell John's itching to put Sean Mackey, but while we're playing the way we are and the way the team are playing, you can't really change it, like we say.
You've just reminded me that we did say last week that John McGlynn prefers his men large.
Absolutely. But game, and you know, the pick of the goals probably Aidan Nesbitt's. Again, he's got a couple this season as well. Again, you could say he was our best player on Saturday. Is that going astray?
No, listen, I don't think it would be a bad shout. There was a few players who could be up for that, but Nesbitt, he covered every blade of artificial grass. And that, as you say, that strike was just beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah. Just passed it into the net. You know, he's good. He's really good at that, Nes. But you know, when he's outside the box, he just kind of strokes the ball. You know, rather than putting his laces through it, he just positions it really, really well. I've seen him score a few like that. So, oh, cracking, really, really good. And again, Agumon involved in that goal as well. You know, he made a big impact coming off the bench and kind of gave us a bit of a foot up the arse, I think, when we needed it.
Yeah, and I think Agumon's certainly a great guy to have come off the bench. I mean, you'd rather see him starting matches, but I mean, the guy, just looking, he's such a unit as well. Like, he's so fast.
I know.
He just gives defenders a torrid time. And that's one thing. You don't know what he's going to do, but that's, I love players like that as well. And that's the one thing I do kind of like with McGlynn as well. Like, it seems to give the attackers a bit more freedom to sort of mix it up a little. And Agumon just, yeah, he's great, you know. Yeah.
Players just absolutely bounce off him when he's running at goal, don't they? Like, the defenders just absolutely, they're scared of him, and the ones that do go near him just end up getting bounced away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's actually interesting looking at the stats for the match. I didn't believe that Kelty had 62% possession.
But I don't believe that you would know anything about the game.
But I mean, when you look at the shots, 22 shots to two for them. Obviously, one of them went in. 14 shots on target for Falkirk. That's great numbers to see. And then obviously the best number to see is 5 goals on the board against them. But yeah, I find that really hard to believe that they had 62% possession.
Dave may know better than me being in that industry, but I don't even know how, like, how do they, at our level, how do they actually check?
Well, they have the Opta stats guys, you know, the guys that work for Opta stats. So,
right.
But in the truck as well, there'll be a graphics guy, and they sort of click a button every time possession changes.
Oh, touch the ball, right.
Oh, really? Is that how it works? I did not know that.
Yeah, but maybe the guy fell asleep, who knows. But, I mean, the thing is, what I would say as well, is that from our play this year, there's a lot of, we don't mess about at the back as much as we used to, which obviously then gives you a lot more possession. So we tend to get the ball forward quicker and maybe create a chance, which in turn then gives away possession if we're, you know, putting a shot off target or whatever. So it might be, but certainly the possession they had wasn't in areas that were affecting us much.
No.
It's true, Dave.
Right, let's hear from the manager then, who caught up with Sean and find out what he had to say.
John, this is always a difficult place to come, but probably won't see a more convincing win than that.
You're right about being difficult. Last season we had some really difficult games here, and we expected a difficult game here today, but the first goal so early was a big help. Getting a goal within the first 2 minutes of the game was massive. You know, for us, because we've been seeing in recent games, not getting that first goal, teams are fighting all the harder, keeping on going right into the last stages of the game, last week before we could get that goal. So getting the first goal gives us a boost, and it also puts the opposition on the back foot, and we managed to build on that. You know, penalty kick for Callum, and then the other goal, whether it was Callum's or they're saying it was the goalkeeper's. So 3-0 up early in the game, delighted. Without actually getting toward our best performance, I would suggest, I think it was our passing could still have been better. I didn't think they won enough second balls. And it was a bit disappointing about the one shot at goal that they had in the first half, they got a goal. So coming in at half-time, 2-goal advantage, you know, still a good advantage to have. Felt we could go and build on it, and I'm delighted that we did. You know, second half, another 2 goals, you know, managed to stop Kelly creating anything. So 5-1, good day's work. You know, it's not the easiest place, as you mentioned there. The pitch is very narrow and there's less space to play. But, you know, Kelly were a difficult opponent for us last year, and we managed to get the first 3 points, and we can build on that as we go along.
you mentioned maybe not the, despite the three goals, maybe not the best performance in the first half. I think it was maybe scrappy is a good way to describe it. But it looked like a totally different story in the second half. What did you say to the boys at half time to get them to come out and just flip it around like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, we are kind of like nitpicking because we know, we've spoken about it all week with regards to the pitch being tight and it could be scrappy, you know, but there were still some elementary mistakes or individual, you know, unforced errors. See you, Liam. See you, Sean. So it didn't quite flow as normally as we would do with a passing game, but that's because the pitch is so tight and the players are on top of each other. And I didn't really feel they had only enough second balls, you know. So it was a matter of saying exactly that. If we can tidy our passing up, if we can win a few more second balls, then we'll continue to create chances. And if we can create chances, you know, more often than not, we take them. And that's what's happened. And we didn't give up an awful lot of chances in the first half, but we gave none up in the second half, you know. So a little bit of nitpicking in the standards that we've set and making sure that we don't drop our standards. But nonetheless, you know, we've come away from here with a very, very convincing 5-1 victory and we're, you know, got to be delighted.
There he is, delighted. John McGlynn. Never looks delighted, but, you know, I love how halfway through the interview you just said cheerio to Liam Henderson and Sean Mackey if we were wanting
to. Doesn't give a fuck, does he? Doesn't give a fuck what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. He seems relatively pleased with it, though. You know, he talked about being scrappy and not winning enough second balls. That's something we've been really good at, I have to say, throughout the season, is winning that second ball. We've done really, really well over this season. But yeah, I get where he's going with it. We didn't probably, in that first half, do as well as we could have done with it. But yeah, happy. You've got to be happy with 5-1 and still being top of the league.
Always. Nothing better at this point. So
no, exactly. The problem is Hamilton, isn't it? It's well, like they
like worry, you know. It's we could go through this game being unbeaten against anyone but Hamilton, and then you know, still end up losing if we don't fare well against them. So it's you just worry because, I mean, 7 games in, we've won 6 and we've drawn 1. You should be absolutely like well above anybody in the league, but you know, for Hamilton to be matching us.
Yeah, no one's blinked yet. It's
no, real. I mean, it's like every game is, you know, as well we're playing, it's like you can't let a foot off the gas at all.
No. I mean, I'd really had hopes of them going, you know, Queen of the South doing something against them. Because, I mean, Queen of the South looked decent against us and, you know, we're really hard to break down. But I really hoped that Big Marvin was going to do us a favour there on Saturday. But, I mean, Hamilton again, just not as... Was it off 86 minutes they scored?
Which is worrying too. I mean, that's a huge result for them, and we've still got to go down there. So
It is. I mean, that game in a couple of weeks' time is huge, man. Absolutely massive.
Even if we were to not do well, sorry, Ross, next week, it's still massive because, you know, it could regain us back top spot or either way, like that will see who's going to be in first place coming into the next quarter. So it's a huge game. But, I mean, that's one thing I think with this league, I'm certainly noticing it from the games I've been watching, is that the opposition aren't great. I mean, Cove have been really poor.
Yeah, surprisingly.
And Southern Albion were doing all right for a while, but you always expect them to drop away. Montrose, they're always kind of a solid unit. But it's great because what we're doing now is what we probably should have been doing the last few seasons and showing the gulf between us and the part-time teams. But obviously with Hamilton being the same, they've recruited quite well too. So it's just, I can see it going neck and neck all the way. And of course, it's just going to be, I think, our games between them that are going to be the big difference. So yeah, massive game come 2 weeks' time.
I think it is a huge game already. Obviously, Saturday, we need to take care of Montrose first, and that is a big game too, because they've just had a bit of form. They've won their last 3, so they'll be a bit more confident than they maybe would have been at the start of the season. But if we can navigate through that, we've got 2 home games to finish the quarter, and if we can win those 2, we're putting ourselves in a really, really strong place for going into the second quarter. But I don't necessarily think we should be worried about Hamilton. I think we should be thinking about them because they're there and they're doing what we're doing and getting points on the board. But I think if one of the two are worried about the other, they're probably a bit more worried about us in terms of the amount of goals we're scoring, the fact that we're looking pretty tight at the back as well. they won't relish coming to a Falkirk Stadium with 5,000 people in it, and the vast majority behind the home team. And they'll know they'll have been in a game, 100%.
Just having a look there, they've got Annan at home next week, so I think you can almost say they're likely to get the 3 points from that. So it might give them a bit of a buffer coming to us in 2 weeks. But yeah, I don't know. It's they've been looking quite solid as well, but they've obviously that dropped a couple of goals, which they weren't doing the previous games. So I'd be interesting to see anyway.
See, going back to Annan a second though, Dave, we obviously played them. Was it first game or the second game of the season? Was it first game?
First game, yeah.
First game, right? And we know how comfortable it was in the most, right? Their last four games, they've won two and drawn two. Okay. I'm not convinced that's going to be as easy a game as we maybe found them. I could be wrong and they'll get absolutely steamrolled, but I'm hopeful that I don't know if that's as easy a game as it would have been 6-7 weeks ago.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope they drop points. But yeah, it's still top of the league. And like you say, it's just, honestly, it's just going to be so tight. I mean, speaking of Hamilton supporters at the start of the season, they were really pessimistic about this season. I spoke to the guy who does a Hamilton podcast, and he kind of said he reckons we'll be playoffs if we're lucky. That was his opinion at the start of the season. But like you say, they've had to rebuild the team, and you've got some good players in there. A couple that when you look at like the boy McGlynn that we tried to sign, and Bajonis, who was at Kelty as well, he's a good player. And yeah, they've got some good players in there, but I do think we're a class above them. We will wait and find out in a couple of weeks, but we've obviously got to get past Montrose first, which we'll talk about just in a minute. View from the supporters, let's kick things off with Elsa. She goes, what time to be a Falkirk Bairn? Clinical in the first half, though didn't play as well as we could have. Second half controlled it fully. Alfie made a big difference when he came on. Aidan's goal was a peach. Come on, you Bairns.
Indeed, is that Elsa not letting it go again, is it?
Yeah.
Stuart says, first half we weren't quite firing on all cylinders, but the second half, when it could have been really easy for them to get some momentum going, we bossed it completely.
Scott, gathering momentum now, we've been wanting this for years. Come on, you Bairns. Yeah, there is that momentum, like you say, it's just got to keep going. And like David says, if in any other season or any other league, it kind of reminds you, I've been watching Welcome to Wrexham last season when it was them in Notts County and it was literally no one was dropping any points. It's got that kind of feel about it, hasn't it?
Kind of, yeah. Well, hope not, but yeah. That's what it is, isn't it? Susie says, brilliant result. Best team we've had in years, although I don't know if that would have been too difficult. Well done to the guy who talked the stewards out of throwing John out for being too drunk. Producer John for this week's Falkirk Dafty.
Yes, I will second that, absolutely. Graham says, straightforward win while not being at our best. Imagine what the score could have been if we'd been playing well.
An interesting point. Yep, totally. David says, we've got a side that the fans deserve. The fight and hunger and the desire was better than the result. Proud to be a Bairn again.
Definitely can say that. Clinical performance, well done, Bairns. Thought Leon was excellent down the left side all game. He looks so sharp. This is from John. Could see how much Kelty defence were scared of Agyeman when he came on. A 16 goal difference after 7 games. That is pretty impressive.
Got outstanding, isn't it? And we're still the highest scorer in
20 goals. Yep, 20 goals in any week. Yep.
There we go. Okay, let's keep that going. Gus says 22 attempts at goal, 14 on target, relentless.
Absolutely. I think that is the word that you would say with Falkirk. It is relentless. X is absolute class. Thought Ethan Ross had a good, great game as well. I still think we played better in the past games than tonight. We had more in the tank, though, which was good to see.
Yep, that's true. Fraser, having to eat humble pie and finally start to admit that McGlynn may be the man to get us out of this mess. Looks like he's assembled a very strong squad for League One. Long may it continue.
Yeah, and finally, Kieran, one of my ultra buddies, says, John won't remember a thing, he could barely keep on his feet. Fantastic. Yes. I'm glad we've had this podcast so I can remember parts of the game, and I'm going to have to go and watch the highlights yet again. Right, Falkirk Daft. We all know who the Falkirk Daft is. Moi.
Never read out a comment there. I saw somebody commented about you giving John Travolta his jacket back.
Oh, I saw that. It was Simon from Elliot's. That was class.
I was looking cool in my leather jacket. Falkirk Daft rated, he's got to go to Callum, as I said at the start of the show, for stopping the stewards throwing me out of the game. And in terms of what happened on the pitch, so who's the Falkirk Daft rated player going to this week, Ross?
We talked about him earlier on, but I think for his overall contribution and his goal, I'm going to go Nessie.
Nessie, David?
I'll go Morrison. I thought, just again, he's always a thorn in the side, getting space down the right and into good areas. So, and well, we'll give him two goals. I will anyway.
Right, okay then. Right, okay. I'm casting vote then. I'm going to go with Nessie as well, actually. I thought he just motors that boy. It's like you talk about the Opta stats, and his stats must, he's up and down, up and down. He constantly is on the movement. So, yeah, I'll give it to Nessie as well. We've got a Falkirk Dafty.
On the pitch,
who are you?
Yeah, I don't think there was one on the pitch, but off it definitely is.
Right, we'll go with that then. Fantastic. David, thanks so much for joining us on Falkirk Daft this week. Really appreciate your time. If you want to be a guest pundit on the show, you can do just that. Drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or drop us an email, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
So it's that time of the show where we look ahead to our next opponents, and those next opponents are the mighty Montrose. And on to tell us all about Montrose, we had them on last season, it is my friend Mark Gray. How are you, Mark?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Is that a Montrose? What is that, a retro Montrose top, is it? No?
No, it's the new away top.
Is that the new away top? Have the Montrose changed the badge? Or has that always been the badge?
No, I think that's a normal one, I think.
It's a normal badge.
Is that a normal badge?
I quite like that, because is that tartan on the shoulders?
Yeah, kind of. Well, kind of swooshy.
That's quite nice, that. That's quite a nice wee top, that. There you go.
It's inverted from the home top. The home top's blue with kind of white and red on the shoulders.
Yeah. Do you get it from DH Gate?
No, buy it from the official club shop, of course.
I don't know if Montrose are on DH Gate yet, right enough. Mark Montrose, talk us through them. Last season, obviously, was a bit disappointing. A lot of people have asked me, did you pay up your bet this time last year? We were on the podcast. You were adamant that Montrose would finish above Falkirk. That obviously didn't happen. But the kind of wheels kind of came off halfway through the season for you guys last season.
Yeah, I think when I spoke to you this time last season, I said it was going to be a transitional season, and that proved to be the case. A lot of older players, we didn't have a right back last season. We tried to shoehorn Rory McAllister into the team, which didn't really work out as planned. As I said, transitional season, but this season we've got rid of Rory McAllister, which seems to have been the impetus for us to step up a gear. We've won our last four matches, which is the four matches we've played since Rory McAllister left. So since then, yeah, absolutely flying so far.
Well, that's surprising, because Rory McAllister, obviously at this level, is, you know, a goal machine. Absolutely. Why do you not think it didn't work for him at Montrose?
I wouldn't go as far as say he was a flop, but I mean, 11, 12 goals in 40 odd appearances wasn't the kind of return you were hoping for. I think got to take into account the fact he's 35, 36, been asked to step up a level. I suppose he was at Cove, but certainly from Peterhead. Just trying to shoehorn him into a team that didn't play to his strengths. I mean, we've always had quite pacey strikers who like the ball in front of them, which wasn't Rory's game. He likes the ball to feet in the box to kind of shrug off a marker and hammer it into the net, which we weren't built to do. It didn't really work out for him, which is unfortunate, because I think if we'd got him 5 years ago, or certainly 10 years ago, he'd have been absolutely flying, but yeah, couldn't work with our system.
Yeah, I mean, who's the kind of main man for you then? I mean, you went and signed the guy from,
Elgin or something like that?
Elgin.
Kane Hester from Elgin, yeah. Club record signing, just in the close season there. Started off playing two up front, which again wasn't playing to our strengths. Petrie's always tend to play 5-4-1 with a really fast guy up front. But he tried to play a 4-4-2 with Rory and Kane, which wasn't really working. Kane doing all the running and Rory kind of in the box to put it in the net. But yeah, it wasn't working. But now that Rory's gone, we've gone back to a kind of 5-4-1 or a 4-5-1, depending on who we're playing, what we're playing. And Kane is absolutely flying. Like, the engine on him is incredible. He obviously scored the goal against Stirling last weekend, but 95th minute, Stirling had a free kick on the edge of our box, broke down, and he went tanking past the whole Stirling midfield with the ball at his feet, went round the keeper, and the keeper managed to get a glove on it to keep it out. But the pace on him after 95 minutes of football, he's just unreal. So, yeah, he'll be the main threat this Saturday, absolutely no doubt about that.
So you're saying it's kind of 4-5-1, that you'll end up probably playing a 5-4 on, I'm guessing, down at the stadium, do you think?
It depends. Kerr Waddle, who's probably our best centre-back now, he came back off the bench last week. This is his first appearance of the season. So we do have the possibility of playing Aidan Quinn, Sean Dillon and Kerr Waddle, flanked by Williamson and Steves or Mikado.
I can't believe Sean Dillon's still going, by the way. What age is Sean Dillon now?
He just turned 40 last month.
Jesus Christ.
It's obviously, I mean, his reading of the game is immense. He's still, obviously, pretty fit for a 40-year-old. He's probably not got the legs to cover for his own mistakes anymore, which is where Kerr Waddle comes in. You leave Dillon sitting a bit deeper and Kerr kind of mop is your first line of defence. Anything that gets past Kerr, Dillon's there to mop up. So when those two are playing well together, our defence is pretty rock solid, certainly through the middle. If Kerr plays from the start and he goes 5-4-1, could be difficult to break down, I think.
Yeah. Mark, it's interesting you said there about being quite tight through the middle. Obviously, last season and again this season, our threats coming from out in the wings more so than running direct. And we're obviously seeing a few goals from the wide areas this year. Is that having shifted? I just looked at the league table. So there's 11 again so far, scored 12. Are you a little bit worried you might lose a couple of goals on Saturday from those wide areas then?
It's possible. It depends how you're attacking from the flanks, I suppose. I mean, if you're running and trying to run it into the box, you're going to hit three centre-backs, probably. If you're crossing it, there's a good chance it's not getting past Sean Dillon and Kerr Waddle. So I would imagine that running at the full-backs is probably going to be more productive than trying to cross it into a box with three centre-halves. But
that's interesting because, obviously, we came against Queen of the South a couple of weeks ago, and John McGlynn very much is... keep trying doing it, and it was very much like getting down either side, getting cross into the box, and Effie Ambrose is obviously at Queen's out and he just knocked everything that came from those ears. So that's what slightly worries me with Montrose, is that they've got Sean Dillon and we know how big and influential he is. He might have the same kind of impact that Effie Ambrose had like when we played Queen of the South, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes about this game, because certainly our goal a couple of weeks ago, Ross, that came from when we went a bit more direct and went down the middle of the park, and Brad obviously had that fantastic strike. Interesting to see how we set up. You're quite confident. I mean, obviously, out with Falkirk and Hamilton going into this game, Mark, Montrose are the form team.
Yeah, obviously nothing to lose going down there. You are no longer the worst full-time team in Scottish football, thanks to Cove Rangers being back in League One. You're obviously flying as well. I would fancy us to get at least one goal the way we're playing, because we've got boys that can hold the ball when we're moving forward at pace. We've got Blair Lyons, Kane Hester, Matias Mikado, Michael Gardine is absolutely brilliant at holding the ball up and picking out a pass. If that's not working, we can bring Terry Masson on just to fire your boys into the stand. So we do have options going forward. I would imagine, I think we'll get a goal. If he goes five at the back and you're trying to launch balls into the box, Kerr Waddle's going to mop that up all day long. So I think playing it to feet is probably going to be the way you get past this, but I don't know.
Interesting. And I forgot Montrose have a Brazilian in their side, which is mental to say. The only Brazilian playing in Scotland is Daniel for Rangers, and Montrose have got Matthew Mikado. I forgot about that. I'd love to know how story and how he ended up in Scotland. It's like unbelievable. So. There's no kind of fear, I guess, going into the game for Montrose, it's just the form you're on.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to lose. I mean, sitting third in the league, I don't know, are we top of the form table? Or must be between us and you, I suppose.
We've only dropped 1 point this season, so it's us, Hamilton, and then you guys. We're top of the form table and top of the league at the moment, Mark, as well, if you hadn't noticed. Do you want to take up the bit? Are we going to, you know, last season you came on here all full of bravado saying that you would buy my strip. That ended up turning into a charlatan's ticket because I didn't trust you not to get something written on the back of
it. I was only going to get 5-1 on the back.
What are we thinking this season?
What are you suggesting? I'm just going to go.
You just want to go on the game on Saturday? We'll go for the game on Saturday.
If you want, or we can go aggregate score over the four, or we can go, are Falkirk going to get promoted? Whatever you fancy.
Why you decide what you want to do, Mark.
How confident are you? Are you confident that Falkirk's going to win the league?
Yes.
There you go. Then there's your bet. Falkirk will not win the league.
Right, there we go. There we go.
Because you'll have, in February and March, your customary wheels will fall off, you'll finish second, and you will blow the playoffs, and it'll be team, season number six in League One.
Not this team. I'm telling you right now, not this team, not this season. This is our season.
Hamilton will win the league, Falkirk will finish second at best, and absolutely tank it in the playoffs yet again.
Right, okay. We'll put a top on it then for next season then.
Okay.
Our Stato, our resident Strato, Donald Johnson, has reached out to us as ever. Thank you, Donald. He says, recent home results versus Montrose haven't been great. Last two seasons, we've only won 1 from 4 with 1 draw and 2 losses. Overall home record is much better, however. Played 23, won 15, drawn 3 and lost 5 with 72% record. Attendances are much better this season with 4,000 now the norm. It took us 12 games to get to 4,000 last season. Out with the Powers game. We should beat last year's average of 4,096, bringing in additional income and conservative average of 4,300, which would bring in additional £50,000 and 4,500 an additional £100,000 versus the budget. Thank you very much for that, Donald. Not only are we getting stats on the games now, Donald is also onto the crowd attendances and looking after that for us as well. So thanks very much to our resident Stato. Donald, right, predictions for Saturday then, gentlemen. Ross?
I was having a wee look at the last couple of wins, obviously, Montrose have had. It's against the kind of poorer side, so I'm going to go 3-0 for Volker.
Mark?
1-0 Montrose.
1-0.
Kane Hester, 75th minute.
No, he's got minutes and everything. I'm what you say. I think it'll be a tight game, I think. And my worry is that he does what he did against Queen of the South and just keeps trying to get balls in wide and getting them into the box. That's my worry. So I think I'm sure John McGowan has done his homework, but if we have got the chance to go a bit more direct, a bit more through the middle and pull Sean Dillon out, I think that's where we might get our luck there.
I think this might be the first time Sean Dillon struggles against Falkirk. He's walked it every time we've played him against them, whether it's Montrose or otherwise in the last few years. But I think we're a different beast going forward this season. So personally, I think he might struggle.
I'll go 2-1 then in that case. So 2-1. Mark, thanks for giving us the skinny on Montrose. Are you going to make it down to the game?
Hopefully. See how it goes. But yeah, it'd be good to see you get a win at Falkirk.
Brilliant. Well, I'll hopefully see you there on Saturday, mate. And thanks for coming on Falkirk Daft.
No problem. Always a pleasure.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is us for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening. I got through the show, Ross. I'm quite delighted with myself.
You did. Well done.
Oh, I'm really happy. And now I'm getting carpets fitted this week. I now have to move all the furniture. Every room's getting done. So you know the pain of having to move all the furniture around into different places and different rooms. So I've got all that to do this afternoon.
Not firm coming in, though, haven't you? Like to
yeah, I'm not. I'm not having anything to do. I just have to move all the furniture now so they can carpet the room. So delighted with that. Listen, thanks so much for listening to Falkirk Daft. We really appreciate it. And thanks to everyone who said hello to me on Saturday. I remember everything about the game. I'm just glad, like I say, we've had this time to remind myself of what happened. Remember, please comment below if you're watching on YouTube, or rate, review the pod on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. We really appreciate a wee 5 stars from you. You can also hit that alert button on YouTube and like and subscribe there, and you'll get be notified when our episodes drop. If you want merch, we've got Falkirk Daft merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. You can get that there. All sorts of t-shirts and hoodies and hats and all sorts. Get it all at merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Get in touch with the show as well. If you want to get any sponsorship, we can still, even though we love Haldane, Haldane are our sponsors, thank you very much. If you've got a local business and you want mentioned on the show, we can do that for you as well with very reasonable rates. You can do that. Just reach out to myself or Ross at sales@falkirkdaft.co.uk. And that is us. Thanks to Haldane Construction as ever. Get them at haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Get them on Twitter, Instagram, and fingers crossed they won those awards. We'll hear, reach out for Peter and find out if that went well. Right, on to Montrose now. The Mighty Mo come to the stadium on Saturday. I will be sober. I'm going to be delighted with that. And thank you for listening to Falkirk Daft. Ross.
Expect unexpected, buddy, as always.
Expect me to be sober next week.